this, and it's a true fact because I've been to the Dairy Queen several times, and she's at the Dairy Queen. She has the same intensity up here that she does at the Dairy Queen. When she greets you, she's so wonderfully kind and just very intentional, and so it's just nice to have her and all of our folks as they worship and lead us in worship every week. I'm always encouraged by our folks that stand up here and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's go ahead and dismiss any kids that are in here. I think they're probably already gone. They are. We will probably stop doing that the first week in August, where the kids will not need to be dismissed. They're going to be back in the back, I believe, most of them. I'll get you all the details for that, but I think that changes. And as Pat and Terry evolve and work with our kids here, the more and more kids come, we will figure out how to get that all done. They had their first messy mayhem this week, and it looks like they had a ball, and they got another one coming this week. So encourage your kids and grandkids to be here. It's this Thursday. They're having a cookout, lots of things going on. So please get your kids involved in that. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Jesus, we love you, and thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come and worship you, that we can lift our voices, that we can do all the things that we've done to this point. Just now, would you open our minds and our hearts to your word and to the things you might want to say to us today. Use me and take my words and open my mouth where it needs to be opened and close it where it needs to be closed. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Next couple weeks, we're going to be doing a series called Hot Topics, and today is part two. If you were here last week, you saw my lame attempt at trying to have some cards that would have your attention based on certain things. And we're going to do that again today as we review those cards and see the importance of those things on our life today. And the hot topic that we're talking about last week and this week is our identity. And so I put under that, I said, do what you can do with what God gave you. Do what you can do with what you got. Whatever it is he gave you, do it. And when we talk about our identity, it's a very fragile thing because we think our identity tends to be our job. You know, I'm a brick mason. I work at a factory. I work on a truck. I work this place. I do, and that is what we do, but that's not who we are. And so we want to talk about our identity, who God made us to be. Last week we looked about how we function in that identity, and how it allows us to go forward. And most of us, in fact, all of us, our identities are skewed. They're skewed with sin. They're skewed with the world that has shaped us and shown us things that we just glop onto and put them into who we are. When God made us, I believe he gave us an identity. He chose us to be his heirs, to be the ones that would carry his life, his mission out to everyone in this world. He chose us to be his sons and his daughters. But the devil in this culture has confused us, has wrongly shown us how to abandon our heritage, our identity, and who we are in Christ, and to find some weird alternative identity that messes with every part of our life. I know it is so hard for young people growing up today because they don't know who they are. And they identify as a girl may identify as a man, and a man may identify as a woman, and on and on and on it goes. And I understand that, and I don't feel mad at those people. I feel sad because the devil has tricked them, has tricked so many into losing who they are in Christ. And that separates us from Jesus. If you don't know who you are, if all you are is a factory worker, there's a problem. If all you are is a truck driver, that's a problem because that can be taken away very, very quickly. So to do this, last week I helped us identify and remember this by playing the game of five-card stud poker. And it's you play the cards that you're dealt, and the hand that you get, you have to deal with it. And so last week I introduced the 10, I dealt a series of cards, the 10 of spades. I also identified the jack of clubs. No, there's no trick here. Nothing's going to happen, so don't be looking for a trick. There's the queen of diamonds that we talked about, and there's the king of hearts, and then the wild card, the joker card. And I talked about all five of those cards last week. The ten of spades is my chemistry. It's my chemistry. It's who God made us to be. And there's very little we can do to change our chemistry, our biology. We were made male, if we're a male. We were made female. That's in question today, I understand, for many people. But that's the facts. We were made. We have chemistry. The jack of clubs, I said, is our relationships. It's those things and those people that we relate to. And a lot of times the way we relate in our relationships is how we were treated when we were young. And so if you were treated harshly when you were young, you tend to view relationships in that vein. It hurt people, and the cycle continues on. And you either hurt people, or you are quiet, or you don't do what God asks you to do because you're scared, and you're fearful, and you're depressed, and you're angry, and you're mad, and you're stressed, and you go on and on and on. Then we said the Queen of Diamonds is my situations. And none of us can control our situations because situations come at all of us differently. Your situations this week that happened to you are uniquely yours. Now, some of them happened to all of us. Your car might have broke down. That's your situation. You may have walked in here today broke. You may have walked in here today sick. That's your situation. But that is part of who we are. That's our identity, our situations. And then the fourth card that I used was the King of Hearts. And I called that word my alertness, or my self-conversation that I have with myself. That inner dialogue that I speak to me all the time. And most of the time, it's not very good. And most of the time, it's looking at me saying, man, you're not very good. And you look at other people and you kind of think mad things about them too. You're always in your head. You're in your head, and your head space is so full of all these thoughts, and you're thinking a lot of other thoughts besides listening to me this morning. I understand that every one of you in a room of 100, there's a lot of thoughts going on here, and none of them have to do with anything that I'm saying. What's he wearing up there today? Or what? Well, I'm a little cool, or I'm a little hot, or well, I'm getting hungry, or you know, all these thoughts just pop into our head, and they affect our identity. We brought out the scripture last week, Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you think about you is how you perceive your identity. And then we talked about the Joker card, and that was a special card. And we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about the Joker card. It's my choices. My choices. They allow me freedom to be who I am in Christ. The wild card allows you to be who you are. I chose him. I choose him over the culture. I choose him over the world every day. It's my choice. Do I choose him or not? And this card is not used very much. We don't play it very much in the Christian circles because we need to see the value of this wild card. This wild card is supernatural. We don't like that word because we don't really understand supernatural. When I use that word, many of you go, where's he going with that? It's saying that there's things that happen that you can't explain. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about God, because God is supernatural. He can do things in you despite how broken and messed up you are. He can take whatever is wrong with you and he can make it right. Now that was last week's part one. Let's talk about part two today. So that if you weren't here last week, you're caught up. I know there was a lot of other things, but let's get into this choice card. Let's talk about this wild choice card and what it does. Ultimately, identity is based on your choices. You were born to be who you are when God shaped you in your mommy's womb. He put you together to be a very simple. He knew who he wanted you to be, and that's who you were going to be. And the factors that we talked about, those factors have shaped you into being something that you weren't supposed to be. So the Ten of Spades card that we used last week, that with the wild card, playing the wild card with that, with Jesus, I can choose a healthier chemistry. I can choose a healthier biology. I cannot be 3 inches taller. I will never be 3 inches taller. But I can figure out something with my health. I can figure out something with my stress. I can do something with God's supernatural ability in employing that and asking him and choosing him and obeying him. I can do something about my chemistry. Psalms 119, verse 73 says this. You made my body. Now give me sense to heed your laws. You made my body. Now give me sense to heed your laws. There it is. Obey. That's the part that us in Jesus' people have got to figure out. If we want the supernatural, if you want the supernatural, it begins with obedience. It begins with obedience on your part. You made my body, Lord. Give me the sense. Give me the sense to heed your laws. There are things you're never going to change about your body, but you can change some things in your life. Jesus, I choose today to do the supernatural with my health. I choose to eat better. I'll do that, God. You do your work in that. I choose to stress less. I choose to choose you today over this situation. You can train the things that you can't change the things that happen around you, but what you can do is the controllables, the things you put in your mouth, the things you put in your ears, the things you put in your eyes. You can do something about that. And those are chemistry things. Jesus, I choose you to do the supernatural with my health. What do you need to do physically, mentally, spiritually, to agree with Christ's chemistry for you? Because when God made you, I'm tired all the time. There's something you can do chemistry-wise about that. Well, I'm sick. There's something you can do about some of those things. Some of them you can't. Some of them you can. Shakespeare said this, and I saw this quote, and it's a total random thing, but I don't often quote Shakespeare because, number one, I don't understand him, and number two, it's just an absurd quote. But listen, he said this, it's impossible to be a philosopher with a toothache. You know what that means? It means this, it's hard to feel close to God when you're in pain. And if you're in pain today, or if you're in pain a lot, God doesn't want you to always be in pain all the time. And there's some things he wants you to do. There's some things he wants you to obey. Some chemistry laws, some laws of chemistry that you can take. And with obedience and his supernatural ability, something can change in your chemistry. The second choice has to do with my relationships. And this is such a big one. This is so large. It's the Jack of Clubs. And the Jack of Clubs, Jesus changes that Jack of Clubs with a wild card. He changes it to be something we never, ever thought possible. The choice I make here is I choose to take relationships and go deeper. Most of us don't have very deep relationships. Most of us have relationships that are about that deep. We don't let people in. That's an intentional choice. You have got to begin to risk connecting with people. It is a risk to connect to people. It is a risk to get to know somebody. It is a risk to say, here's who I am, to be vulnerable. And there's a couple truths I want you to think about this morning as we think about our relationships. The first truth is this: the fear of rejection prevents connection. If you think that if you're going to press in and they're going to reject you, that's a problem. The reason why many of us feel so disconnected is you fear of being rejected because you've been hurt before. And you have a fear of others. That's the first truth. The fear of rejection prevents a connection. Many of you, the thing that you want most is somebody just to see you and you to see somebody else and to say, I not only see you, I want to be with you as a friend. I want to walk through this with you. The second truth is this, and I found this to be in my life because I'm pretty much, as you think, if anybody thinks I'm a outward person, I'm not. I'm pretty much, I can get by myself. You could put me in the woods and I'd be just fine. I don't really like people. Just being honest, you know. But God has put that in me. God has put that in me to love people. And so that's a supernatural. And so here's the truth with this. Awkward won't kill you. Awkward won't kill you. And that's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of it being awkward because it's awkward developing relationships. It's awkward pressing into somebody. It's awkward opening up yourself and saying, here is who I am. And they're going, that ain't much. Not much there. But when you move against the awkwardness and you find that feeling awkward and you go, it ain't gonna kill me. You can begin to deepen relationships. Most of you here have been hurt by so many people. And one of the biggest factors of keeping us huddled in our little corner is this fact that we just don't want to press into anybody. You do you, and I'll do me. Because we're scared. How do you get rid of fear? Well, look what the Bible says. 1 John 4:18. I love this. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. I don't got perfect love, but I know somebody who does. That's why I'm not sitting in the woods this morning. It's not why I'm down in my cabin this morning. Because perfect love casts out fear. I can be around people. I can love people. I can give people 30, 40, 70,000 chances to hurt me and to hurt me and to hurt me. There's no fear in perfect love because it's casting out the fear that's there. Why does love take away fear? Because Jesus, when we take that love and let it shine through us, it takes the focus off of us and it puts it on somebody else. And suddenly, now listen with me, this is something you've got to get. When you put the light on somebody else, love on somebody else, then you stop thinking about you. And when you stop thinking about you, you start thinking about somebody else besides you. You go someplace, you go anywhere, and you walk in, and the first thing you do is you look around for everybody else. What is everybody thinking about me today? You came here this morning. What are they thinking about me? You do it in church, you do it in stores, you do it in events. Are my legs crossed appropriately? Do I have toilet paper hanging out behind behind me, or is there lettuce in my tooth? I don't know. What is it? And we go to stores and we dress up, maybe not Walmart. Okay, we don't dress up when we go to Walmart. But we dress up when we go to most stores. Why? Because we want people to look at us. Now, we don't do that in Walmart. I don't know why Walmart, but we don't. Sorry if you work at Walmart. Have you been to Walmart lately? Jeez. Okay. We look around for everybody else. And we think everybody's looking at us. Everybody's looking at us. And here's a little secret. You want a seeky? Here it is. They're not thinking about you because they're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you because all they're thinking about is that. That's where Jesus' people can get it right. Self-centeredness walks in the room. Self-centeredness walks in the room saying, how do I look to everybody else? Look at me. No, but that's pretty self-centered. They're going to notice what I'm wearing. Nobody even knows you're wearing anything, what you're wearing. I got my new shoes on. I got my new jeans. Doesn't mean a thing because they're too busy doing their own little thing. But love, listen to me. Love walks in a room and says, who in this place needs my help? Who in this place needs my help? Do you see Jesus in that? Come on. Come on. Somebody has got to start getting this. Who needs a word of encouragement in this place today? Who needs a pat on the back, an attaboy? Who needs a little affirmation? Humility is thinking less of yourself, but humility is just not thinking about yourself and thinking about others. And when you think about others, you don't have time to think about you. And then God does something supernatural, and he fills in the gaps. And you don't have to look like the frickin' needy police where you need, I need, I need, I need, I need. See, what I'm not thinking about me, it's supernatural what God does. Perfect love, the Bible says, does what? It casts out fear. It casts out fear. I make the choice, and then God does something I can't even imagine. I am the biggest poster child for this because you don't know how bad I hate to be up here right now. I hate it. I hate it. Every Sunday I have to fight to stand up in this place because I go, what have I got? What have I got? Nothing. Nothing. When I'm thinking about me, God looks at me and goes, son, get your eyes off of you and put it on somebody else. I'm not an authority on hardly anything, but I think I'm an authority on fear. And I put this acronym that I've used for years and years and years. If you take that F-E-A-R, it means fear, evidence appearing, false evidence appearing real. That's what fear is. It's false evidence that looks to be real, and it ain't. It ain't. It's not real. But how do I get rid of fear? How do I get rid of it? You can't talk yourself out of fear. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. You can't do that. It isn't logical. It's not rational. There's only one way to get rid of fear. You move against your fear. You move against your anxiety. You move and say, I can't worry about what logic says. What I have to do is what Jesus says about who I am. Fear goes away with action. You walk up to your Red Sea in July of 2026, and you look, and your Egyptians are coming after you, whatever your Egyptians are. And they're coming, and you're boxed in, and here's the Red Sea right in front of you. And you look, and you go, oh, my God, that's the Red Sea. Where am I going to go? I'm boxed in. I'm hemmed in. You do what God did back then with Moses. You obey, and you step in the water, and the water begins to part. But it doesn't part until you step in the water and you obey. You go to the Jordan River, and the river's there, and it's these problems, this stress, this anxiety is coming at you. What do? You step in, and the water backs up. It may be scary for a little bit, but joy comes in the morning. You move, you obey, and fear vanishes. Fear is always worse than the reality because we build up these burning men in our minds of what this thing is going to do to me if my kids find out, if my wife finds out. Well, maybe some good things can happen. God can supernaturally do something incredible. And so you've got to ask yourself, what does God want me to do today in relation to these things? Because if you do, then you need to obey and you need to step back and go, I'm waiting on the supernatural. And I'm waiting on the supernatural in some things in my life. They haven't happened yet, but I know there's some things that are going to happen. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says this. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. What's your highest goal? What's your highest goal? What is it? I don't think it's about love. If love is going to be my highest goal, then life has to become about being love to people that are in my sphere. But Jeff, I loved somebody. I helped somebody, and they stepped on my heart. They burnt me. They stomped on my heart, and they tore it up into little bitty pieces. And then I'm going to go, and? Do you think that that excuses you not to love again just because somebody didn't accept your love? Because somebody rejected you? Show me one place in the Bible where it ever says, where it, when you get hurt by love, you don't ever have to love anybody again. There's not one verse in the Bible that says that. Not one place. There's not one place that says you're not allowed to love. Love means risking connections. It means stepping out into the fear that's there. I got to step out. So what happens when you try to love a person? Some of you are going to maybe go out this week, and maybe you'll try to love somebody that you want to try to love, and they block you. They block you. They say, nope, not here. No. And that happens because we're rejected by people all the time. When your love is blocked and you can't go in that direction, then you've got to go in another direction. And God may be saying to you, you're not going to get love from that person, but there's somebody over here. There's some older person. There's some kid. There's some person sitting in your row right now that needs love. Figure it out. And supernaturally, God will do what he does. There are people all around you that are hurting, and their hearts are heavy, and they are stress-filled, and they are fear-based, and they're wondering, are we going to get bombed? Are we going to get killed? Are we just going to have nothing to eat? Are we going to have nothing to drink? All those fears are out there. But supernaturally, you've got to press into the one who's in charge of all those things and allow him to be that wild card in your life. I love this prayer in Ephesians 3:17. I hope it pulls up on the screen. Ephesians 3:17. What a prayer. If you want to write something down today, write this down. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith. First part. I pray that Christ will live in your hearts by faith. And that your life will be strong in love. That it will be built on love. Is your life built on love or fear? Is it built on stress? Is it built on, oh my, what am I going to get out of this? Or what can happen to me? Today, Jesus, I want you to fill my heart with faith. Today, Jesus, I want my life to be built on love. That's a supernatural thing, because when you do that, you don't have enough love to give one iota to that first part. You just don't. But he does. He does. That's the wild card. That's the supernaturality of this. There's several ways you can learn love. And one way is putting it in action. One way you can do that here as a church is start getting in groups again. For years and years, we were a church of small groups. Today, we have a few groups, and a few of you come. Probably a lot of you do the same groups. We used to have 10, 15 groups. Right now we got 5 or 6 small groups. That's great for a church our size. We need more. But when you get in a group, you go against your fear. You go against your fear of somebody saying, I know that person. You go against that fear of saying, they're going to figure out that I'm not a good parent. They're going to figure out that I'm not a good person. They're going to figure out that I'm a selfish slob. So what? So what? Feels awkward. Move against the awkward. I spend a lot of time on relationships because that's where we go asunder. Let me blow through the last three. The Queen of Diamonds is covered by Jesus, the wild card, and I can choose to trust God no matter what situation happens. I can begin to smile at the storm. If you can come to the point where you can smile at the storm and say, like Captain Dan, is that all you got? Is that all you got? When he's sitting there on the mast. Is this all there is? Is that all you got? Well, you think, well, that wasn't very, maybe it was. When you can say to God, listen, I'm yours. I'm yours. And no matter what happens to me and my family, we're going to serve you. I choose to trust you no matter what situation. I love what Psalms 34:1 says. It says this, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. You want a tattoo? Go get that. Go get that. If my skin wouldn't bruise up, I would get that tattoo right here. But it'll bruise up like you see all these bruises. Friends, when you can get to that point, it is a supernatural choice. When you say, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. It's the confidence that says, hit me with your best shot. My dad owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and that's the way you have to start living. Your dad owns all the cattle, no matter how broke you are. Your dad owns all the cattle. Your choice is to obey. He will provide what comes next. Because here's the truth. You are a product of your past. I get it. Some of you were abused horribly when you were younger. Some of you, bad things have happened to recently. Horrible things. You've had loss. You've had so many bad things that have happened to you. You are a product of your past. But I'm not a prisoner of it. I am not a prisoner of my past. And so many of you are living in those chains because of something that happened to you, been the situation that happened, and you're living with these chains, and God is saying, let's supernaturally remove those suckers so you can live to be free. Yes, my past influenced me. My chemistry, my connections, my circumstances, they all influenced me. I am a product of my past, but I'm not a prisoner to it. That's different. That's different. Stop wearing the prison outfits. Your shame and your stress and your fear and your anxiety. That leads us to the King of Queens. The wild card takes that and he helps us what to think about. I don't want to spend a lot of time in this, but I want you to imagine I looked everywhere this week without buying it. I looked for one of those justice scales. You know what I'm talking about? Where there's two, there's a scale here and there's a scale here, and there's a counterbalance. And so if you put one on this side, then it goes up and down. You know what I'm talking about? Everybody with me on the same page? You ever seen those? Some of the young people going, what in the heck's he talking about? So in your brain, you've got this scale, and it's negative and it's positive. In your brain, there's these negative and positive things. And what you do, the choice you have with the wild card, is whether you pile in the negatives on the negative side or you put in the positive, God's word, on the positive side. That's your choice. Because when you put a lot of negatives, you know what happens? You get freaking depressed. You get depressed. Because you're putting more negative than you are in the positive. You say, well, I read my Bible. What are you putting in the positive, though? What do you read the Bible? What does it do? Does it change? Does it do anything in you? Does anything happen? You see, when you're putting these pebbles of faith in on the positive side, it begins to matter and it begins to balance out. And all of a sudden, you're not depressed. You're just blah. There's a word for that in the dictionary. It's called blah. It's just blah. You're just blah. That's good. I'd rather be blah than to be depressed. And when you get more negative thoughts in your life in the truth of God, the scale tips. And it tips not in your favor. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy," think about those things. How can we start doing that when our feed is filled with such negativity? When our feed is just such trash? We don't know what's true and what is true, and we can fact check and we can fact check all we want. It really doesn't matter, but what it does, it fills our heads with things we shouldn't be filling our heads with. Be careful what you allow in that scale. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, think about those things. Lastly, the wild card. It's true, you can choose Jesus as your Savior, but I want to talk to you about choosing Him as your daily Savior. Your momently Savior. I'm not talking about saving you out of hell, saving you from your sins. We want to talk about that. We're going to talk about that in the coming weeks. You need to do that. And if you haven't done that, you need to settle that one. Because next week we're going to start the process with baptism. We're going to ask you to ask Jesus into your heart if you haven't. And then we're going to ask you to say to Jesus, "I want to make a statement." But I'm talking about letting Jesus be your Savior every day. That changes everything. Because when I choose Jesus as my Savior every day, the choices that I make, the things that I do, when I follow through with those choices, then what happens is supernatural things start to happen. And I'm talking about letting Him make every choice that happens in your life. I say, "Jesus, I need You. I need You to save me from my chemistry. Jesus, I need You to save from the relationships and the things that have happened to me. And Jesus, I need You to save me from my situations. And Jesus, I need You to save me from the things that I say to me in my head. Jesus, I need You to save me from sin, but I need You to save me from me today because I am a mess." Some of you here, you're thinking you're waiting on God. And I know this. I know there's some of you here, you're waiting on God to change stuff in your life. "I want to really be married. I really want to be healthier, God. I really want to have that job." And all those things that you're waiting on for God, God is saying, "I'm waiting on you to use the wild card that I gave you." Why? Because the Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. According to whose faith? Your faith. When I choose to use the wild card of God that He's given me, I can choose to be healthier. I can choose to start risking healthy connections. I can choose to trust God no matter what the circumstances are. And I can choose to think about what I think about because I am a child of God. And I live that out day by day by day. And here's a funny fact. Remember this. Without Jesus, you're not playing with a full deck. Think about that. Without Jesus, you're not playing with a full deck. And so many of you are trying to do that. And so if I was a magician, and I'm not. This is not a magic trick. I failed and tried on this 20 times, so forget that. But what happens, in essence, is I was supposed to put those boxes in there, and so I lift it up. You look, and there's that jack, or 10 was changed to an ace, and the jack was changed to an ace, and the hearts was the ace. It just goes on. And because of the wild card, it's all the wild card. The wild card takes and makes the difference in us. There was no magic there. Here's the supernatural. What God does is supernatural when you obey. Let's pray. Jesus, I love You, and I know that today there's some people here that when they talk about being a son of God or a daughter of God, a daughter of the King, we look at that and go, I'm not feeling that. But God, I pray through supernatural events today that You'll work in some people's lives here in this place today. I pray as the band comes, God, that You will just do a work in us, through us, and because of us, that God, you sent your son, but you sent him not just to save us from sin, but to save us from every day, to save us from the things that we get ourselves into every day, from the situations that we put ourselves in, from the unhealthy thoughts and the unhealthy chemistry things that we do to our bodies. And then we expect you to do some supernatural things. And God, we know you can do that. We can eat 14 boxes of Twinkies a day and expect to be healthy. But God, we know that you want obedience from us. So help us to choose you today. To let you be our Savior every day. And just now, as we come to relook at our lives during this ministry time, we help us to focus on what it is you want to do in us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. See what God wants to do in you today as you sit here as the band sings, and I'll come up and close us.
I come to the garden alone while the dew still on the roses and the voice.